Still, the U.S. and Russian relations have a lot of issues related that require the highest level meeting. And I hope that our meeting will be productive.
Well, thank you. As I said outside, I think it's always better to make friends.
If you couldn't hear what he said, it was that's Joe Biden, President Joe Biden. I suppose you could refer to him, because I do, part-time president. You know, he's up there. He's like the National Mall greeter or the National Walmart greeter. You know, it's kind of part-time. It seems like he just does this on the side and, you know, makes a few dollars. And it's just, maybe it's like a side gig for him, because his full-time gig, well, knowing his advantage, probably taking naps all day, which I find today's meeting with Vladimir Putin just mind blowing. I mean, like, what do they give Uncle Joe, President Joe Biden? What do they give him to, you know, stay awake, coherent for up to 5 hours? Because that's how long the meeting was supposed to be with President Vladimir Putin today. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's always an honor to fill in for my friend Dana Lash. And I saw what Dana said. Oh, by the way, check out Dana's newsletter. Subscribe to Dana's newsletter. Man, she's throwing a lot of content every single day. This woman is supposed to be resting. I have no idea where Dana finds the time to be writing so much. God bless her. But, man, her mind is a million miles a minute. She's always, always writing. It's like I can just see her. Like, she probably has carpal tunnel syndrome, like on her thumbs, just constantly typing into her phone and typing all these newsletters and all the show content on the newsletter the Monday. And big hug and a kiss to you, Dana, and Chris, and yeah, even Kane. Big hug and a kiss to producer Kane, all the crew up in North Texas. Again, I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash this week. You want to join the conversation, 844-344-DANA. I mentioned the newsletter because she caught on to something. I emailed her sometime ago. She said on the radio, my brother from another mother in South Texas. I said, but then I replied to her, yeah, brother from another mother, but the same Heavenly Father. She put that in the newsletter on Monday. She noticed, though. Bless you guys up in North Texas. Okay, so President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin, which I had forgotten these two, last time they saw each other must have been like a decade ago. He was vice president, and, you know, he was, you know, playing musical chairs. He went from being president to prime minister, and now he's president again, Vladimir Putin. The only thing that I could think of, because really, I mean, what's going to come of this? Because everything that might have been interesting that could have happened already happened, in my opinion. And aside from maybe, and I saw an early report, I was reading an early report that said that maybe, just maybe, that there might be like a prisoner swap, like a prisoner exchange. There's a couple of former Marines, retired people. They're in. There's one of them that I forget his name. In the news, they've been in custody in Russia for some time now. There might be an exchange of that, but I'm waiting for word on Twitter from that. But I haven't seen that yet. But look, the big news was the fact that Joe Biden, he gave his blessing for Vladimir Putin and his Russian gas line to go into Europe. That's enormous. That's earth shattering news. That either went right over the head of the so-called, you know, what I call the news gods up the glass towers in New York media, or they purposely ignored it. I like to think it's the latter. Oh, no big deal. You know, that doesn't affect us. That's the Russians. That's Europe. Yeah, the same guy who nixed the Keystone XL pipeline, given the blessing for the Russians to connect their pipeline to Europe, thereby making Vladimir Putin happy enough to show up, sit down, have this conversation with him, look, shake hands, be on the same stage, everything looked good. All this, it's nothing but political choreography. All this stuff, who's going to stand where, how long they handshake, they don't take questions, yes or no, all that stuff, it's just nothing but political choreography. And I wasn't expecting anything. I'm not expecting anything, nothing earth-shattering, because again, that already took place. And no one's talking about the pipeline right now. the big story for me is like, what do they give him? What do they give Joe Biden to stay awake? Seriously, that's the only thing that's crossing my mind. And seriously, if I was there with the pool of reporters, I snuck into a White House press pool. Ooh, it was like 20 years ago, Monterrey, Mexico. Now, you've been listening long enough, you know I've been here a quarter century already. I don't look it. You know, I just, yeah, I still look real young. Yeah, it's my slightly browner skin. Yeah, I just eat up the sun and I don't have any wrinkles on me. And besides, I'm fat, so all the wrinkles, I kind of push them out. But about 20 years ago, I snuck into a United Nations, some type of, I don't know, some United Nations conference. I don't know, but it was in Monterrey, Mexico, under GW. And this was post 9/11 of all times, post 9/11. Yeah, I snuck in. I got credentials to be part of the UN conference, and I had my lanyard with the ID with my picture and the UN symbol and all of that. But because President Bush went, that was that conference. Ooh, 20 years ago. You guys might remember. You guys who are news junkies, they kicked Fidel Castro out. They sent him packing like early on in that United Nations conference in Monterrey, Mexico. You know, everything for the president, his hotel, the press pool, the official press pool, the guys at, you know, CBS, ABC, you know, the big dogs, all the big newspapers following all that. It's a certain, very specific security vetted contingent. Well, I had my UN credentials. Anybody with only UN credentials could go. Some little reporter from deep South Texas. I had no business in being there. I wasn't part of the press pool, but I stood out at the hotel. I saw the metal detectors, all the press pool going in. And I recognized some of the big, that guy's a news anchor for NBC. Oh, there's a news anchor for CBS. I kind of got in the mix and I was looking the part. You know, I'm no Dana Lash, obviously, on the radio. I'm no Dana Lash in the looks department, but yeah, I'm a good looking dude. Especially 20 years ago, much thinner. I looked the part in my nice suit, my red tie, like George W. Bush. Got in line with the White House press pool, turned my lanyard over. It didn't show my face. I had multiple lanyards with ID, so I just turned them over, put my little press bag, my recorder. I got through. And I mentioned this because in all these decades, they still haven't improved security. There was an incident last week when Kamala Harris went to Central America, and some lady got in pretending to be a clueless news network reporter, some CNN, and she got up to her and started engaging in conversation with her. And there's audio of this where they were talking with each other and she snuck in. That's like, you know, 20 years after the fact, but that's today. Back then it was post 9/11, 6 months after 9/11, I snuck in. I sat there in front of Vicente Fox, then the one president of Mexico, and George W. Bush. The only thing was I kept my mouth shut because George W. Bush recognized me as being the talk radio person here in Deep South Texas. He was governor of Texas. You guys remember that? He was governor of Texas back then. He saw me. And he just kept looking at me and kept looking at me and saying, oh, man, jig's up. Oh, man, I don't want to go to a Mexican jail. So all the questions I brought about forcing Mexico to pay its water debt and all these things about economic development, I kept my mouth shut. And it was everything was choreographed. Before they did the big press conference between Vicente Fox and George W. Bush, there was a White House handler who said, New York Times, what do you want to say? So CBS, you're next. You're going to say something. And then it was everything, even the questions were choreographed and controlled with the big, big media. And I wasn't about to push the issue because I didn't want Secret Service whisking me away, confirming with President Bush, former Governor Bush of Texas, I wasn't supposed to be there because I didn't want to wind up in a Mexican jail. I just want to come home. Mommy, I just want to come home. But everything is choreographed. I'm not expecting anything from this conversation between Joe Biden, this choreographed meeting between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. But if I was part of that press pool, the only question I'd be asking, Mr. President, what is it that you're taking to stay so awake and limber and not fall asleep? I would ask it politely because, you know, jet lag, right? Jet lag. I would word it like something like, Mr. President, because of jet lag and how merciless it is on the sleep schedule, hey, what are you taking? No dose, extra dark, double shots, 2-3 shots, Colombian coffee. What are you taking in order to stay awake? Extra caffeine? What are you doing? That's what I would ask. Just like if I ever had a chance, and I never did, never had a chance to speak with former President Donald Trump. There's only one question I really wanted to ask him. Donald Trump celebrated his birthday this past Monday. Happy birthday, Mr. President, just in case for some reason you wind up tuning into the Dana Show. Happy belated birthday. I wished him happy birthday on Monday, by the way. Thanks to producer Steve, we play the Beatles song. 75 years old. The only question I have for President Trump, or former President Trump, and I pray to Jesus that he becomes president again. I would love to ask Donald Trump if he takes testosterone via injection form or the cream form. There's no way. The dude's 75 years old. I know it must be good genes, but how is it seriously physically possible for a dude that advanced in age to be so freaking strong? It's got to be testosterone replacement. I'm convinced of it. That's what I would love. That big expose for me. That's the big question I would want to ask if I was part of that press pool again. Oh my goodness! Look at the stack of news here. And yet again, I prove with my South Texas producer always says about me. So I was getting Sir to shut up. Okay, look, I'll review all the day's news. We got plenty to say today. Among the folks, I'm looking forward to speaking again with Sister Sarah, as I refer to her. Sarah Carter, man, she's become an expert on border stuff. She had a chance to speak with former President Donald Trump. Maybe we can share a cut or two. Be sure to check out her podcast, Sarah Carter podcast. So she's coming up a little later in the show. Because of Jon Stewart, the comedian, the whole issue of the Wuhan lab, and he pitched it perfectly, expertly on late night TV. You know, the stuff that I don't watch. Probably you haven't watched in a long time, but he came out swinging. Hey, the darn lab is named for the coronavirus. It's in Wuhan. Everything's starting in Wuhan. Come on, man. And because of Jon Stewart, the whole thing about the Wuhan lab is back at Water Cooler Conversation today. I went looking for a new friend of mine, someone I made contact with, Dr. John Fleming. I know he's been on the show before, former congressman. Dr. John Fleming, real deal doctor. He was on the Donald Trump COVID task force. And I tossed that issue around. That's coming up later in the show. Appreciate you checking in. You are listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for Dana from her Southern Command.
It's not weird to give dad underwear for Father's Day. It's an act of mercy. Give him an upgrade with new Tommy John underwear. Tommy John's are not some run-of-the-mill department store underwear. They're luxury that he'll enjoy every day. And all dads agree that when they're wearing Tommy John underwear, they're much more comfortable and they can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Because with dozens of comfort innovations, once a dad tries Tommy John underwear, he's never going back. Lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. And there's no risk because he's always covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off your first order today. Give him an upgrade with new Tommy John underwear. Tommy John's are not some run-of-the-mill department store underwear. They're luxury that he'll enjoy every day. Order by June 15th for delivery by Father's Day. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Dana. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
He deliberately violated this law. He went abroad to receive medical treatment, and once he went out of hospital and posted his videos online, a requirement appeared, but he ignored the requirement of the law, and he knew full well that he is wanted. Nevertheless, he came back to Russia, and he deliberately wanted to be arrested.
Well, there you go. There's the money shot right there. That's Vladimir Putin sounding very young, very very feminine of late. Vladimir Putin. There was a translator of the meeting. Yeah, Alexei Navalny, a dissident number one, enemy of the state number one for Russia, and Vladimir Putin. He wanted to be arrested, he says, right? So I don't know. Maybe there's something about Alexei Navalny we don't know, right? Maybe dude was hungry. He just wants... Do they get 3 square meals a day in Russian prison? I'm just assuming maybe that's what they do. But maybe he's a sadomasochist, right? He just was looking forward to going back behind bars and receiving a daily exercise as a punching bag with friends. We got more on the summit, which is really going nowhere. We got more interesting news on the border. We're broadcasting the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show from what I refer to as her Southern Command. U.S.-Mexican border, Rio Grande Valley, Texas. And you want to join the conversation, 844-344-DANA. I better shut up. Let's do some headlines. Go, Steve.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
The chief at Morgan Stanley, the CEO, he's got the quote of the day, in my opinion. If you can eat out, you can go to the office. The CEO at Morgan Stanley says, you guys going out to eat, going to restaurants? James Morgan says, you guys go out and eat. You guys can come back. So everybody back to the office at Morgan Stanley. Wine tasting, Sonoma, Napa County, California. They say that all the events are filling up now, getting back to normal in California. Cost of oil hitting a price not seen in 3 years. We are north of $70 a barrel, amigo. Mortgage applications up for the first time in 4 weeks. Average rate, 30-year fixed rate, 3.11, a little lower this week than the previous week. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show.
President Trump joins me to discuss the border crisis, the hopelessly biased media, and why Republican leaders like Mitch McConnell just don't get it and need to be replaced. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, you'll hear my extended one-on-one interview with President Donald Trump. He also shares why he believes Joe Biden is getting taken to the cleaners on the world stage and what he's planning for 2024. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shooting down woke culture, one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
President Biden is an experienced statesman. Our one-on-one conversation took almost 2 hours. It's not every world leader that gets this amount of attention. I mean, his predecessor was asked the same question. He evaded this. This president decided to respond to the question directly. And in this, he is very different from President Trump.
He's a true statement, said Vladimir. Yeah, some of the quotes coming out of that face-to-face between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. Welcome to the Dana Show. If you're just joining us, I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana all week long. And we appreciate you tuning in. DanaRadio.com if you want to join us online. DanaRadio.com for the collection of audio from this program. That's the daily podcast. And by the way, speaking of podcasts, check out the Sarah Carter podcast. And Lord willing, next hour, we'll get a chance to speak with Sarah Carter. We're talking about border security, or like a border security under this administration, Joe Biden administration. You know, part of the news that's coming out of this Geneva summit is, and Steve and I were talking about this off air, because Steve is awesome producer. I mean, he's just grabbing some of this audio as it comes out. There seems to be, like, for example, that question on Navalny, Alexei Navalny, earlier, and Putin talking about that. There's this one reporter, the audio from the ABC reporter, Steve-O, Rachel Scott, talking to Vladimir Putin. I mean, this is earth-shattering, amigo. I mean, well, first of all, let me give you an example of what is expected out of this conference. It's cut four, Steve-O. Jim Sciutto, who needs to go do something else for a living. He's, you know, the hard sell, Joe Biden. The spin continues at the Clueless News Network. This is Jim Sciutto just gushing over Mr. Biden looking into the eyes of Vladimir Putin, Putin looking away. Play cut four. This is what's expected of the press today. Go ahead, Steve.
You know, these moments are about moments. And I'll tell you one moment I noticed there in the Biden-Putin interaction. The handshake, Biden looked Putin in the eye with a smile, Putin looked away. Again, you don't want to read too much or too little, but again, these are about public posturing. It's about how you project strength. And that was a notable moment to me as you watched
that. Okay, it's over. I can wake up now. On the other side, there's a enterprising, I'd say hungry reporter from ABC News, Rachel Scott. This is big news. The most exciting thing that's happened so far out of the press conference. Rachel Scott asking a question of Vladimir Putin. Go, Steve.
Yeah, microphone. You didn't answer my question, sir. If all of
the original question, Steve,
are dead in prison, poison, doesn't that send a message that you do not want a fair political fight?
Well, on the question of who is murdering whom, people rioted and went into the Congress in the U.S. with political demands.
What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? And see, the original question that she asked was even sharper and more pointed. That was a follow-up question to Vladimir Putin. You got to keep an eye on this reporter. She sounds to me like that's a real reporter question right there. Kind of reminded me of, and I forget his name, Steve. Well, I'm sorry. The dude from who's obviously hungry and trying to be a real reporter at the Clueless News Network, CNN. That dude that was asking that question yesterday, I asked you about him and you told me that was a good question that he was asking. Now, this ABC reporter, Rachel Scott, do you have the original question that she asked of Vladimir Putin? Okay, play that one. That was pretty sharp.
Our American colleagues.
Mr. President, thank you so much for taking my question.
President to Vladimir.
Biden has said that he would respond if cyber attacks from Russia do not stop. I'm curious, what did he tell you? Did he make any threats? And a quick follow-up, if I may, sir. The list of your political opponents who are dead, prisoned, or jailed is long. Alexei Navalny's organization calls for free and fair elections, an end to corruption. But Russia has outlawed that organization, calling it extremist. And you have now prevented anyone who supports him to run for office. So my question is, Mr. President, what are you so afraid of?
My goodness. Yeah, you can even bring down Steve. Keep an eye on that reporter. Keep an eye on her. She's going places. Yeah, might be a Russian gulag. You make sure somebody tell the press pool manager over at the White House. You make sure that the Rachel Scott makes it back on the airplane. Joe Biden doesn't fall asleep, and they need to do a head count. Make sure she goes back. Because my goodness, that's a real reporter right there. Good for her. Yeah, and keep an eye on her because a good picture. We might have to put her picture on a milk carton if she goes missing. Let me see. Other news. I got a fun interview I want to share with you. It turned out to be fun. I made a new friend who's a restaurant owner. I had to go out of my market. I went over to Dana's Market up in North Texas. It's the reality that all restaurant owners are facing these days because food prices, I know you've noticed, you've gone to your, wherever you are, you might have like a Piggly Wiggly, or a Publix, right? The Publix is real big in Florida. And it could be Albertsons, Kroger, right around here in Texas. My favorite grocery store is H-E-B. And you know, the B stands for butt, B-U-T-T. I kid you not. That's like the butt family. H-E butt, I call them on here. Prices going up at the grocery store. Food prices going up. And yes, you know, it's going to go up at the restaurant. So that conversation coming up a little bit. I made a new friend in North Texas. And you guys hang in there. You guys in the front lines of the food service industry. Let me clear some other news real quick. This was from yesterday. I didn't get to. Robert Redfield was on Fox News, a former CDC director. Again, the theory that the COVID-19 virus came out of the Chinese lab in Wuhan, China, is possible and likely more possible, a bit more likely that it was the Chinese lab, because after all, what are the coincidence that was in Wuhan, in China, the Wuhan lab in China, right nearby, right? The former CDC director, he was on Fox defending, Robert Redfield defending the fact that it could have been the Chinese lab, and all signs pointing to that now, because we don't have the animal. We don't have the animal that brought the coronavirus from the animal, wild animal world into the human animal world. The spread of the virus, not consistent. Here, his observations, the fact that the spread of the virus wasn't consistent with other coronaviruses, similar profiles. He said that the MERS, the SARS, Robert Redfield saying other viruses through nature, they spread real slow. It's a much slower pace of spread. And Redfield suggesting that a bat virus could have been very easily taken into the lab, taken from petri dish to petri dish, thought to evolve faster. You know, some people say weaponize it, make it easier to get into people. So those were his comments yesterday on Fox. And a sidebar mention of some COVID stuff. Let's see here. They say that the India variant, I forget what letter they put to it. They're trying not to offend nations or regions of the world by putting letter labels on the virus now. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you it's the India variant. They say it's real sticky. That's the one that seems to be most sticky right now and taking people down. Emory University, they say they're working with Moderna using their vaccine in a study focusing on that specific variant, the India variant. They also say that the present vaccines that we have, the Pfizer, that one's real good. You get the vaccine, you should be okay with the variant of the India variant of COVID-19. All right. As a result of the shutdown, the interruption in farming and distribution of stuff to the market, food prices going up at the grocery store. They're going up at the restaurants as well. So that sticker shop, be ready for it when you go out to eat. So here's a conversation I had with Jeff Frankel. He's a restaurant owner up in the Dallas area. He has three restaurants. How did you guys do during the pandemic? Lots of, you know, delivery and curbside and stuff. You guys do okay during pandemic?
We did a lot. Yeah, a lot of curbside, a lot of delivery, a lot of margaritas going out the door, which was kind of nice to see. But
that's right.
It's been
permanent now. The whole, you know, alcoholic drink served curbside delivery. How much business do you, like on the adult drinks, how much, what, 10%, 20? What does that represent as far as your bottom line?
Overall alcohol for us is about 20% of our total makeup of sales.
That's pretty good. That's a lot. Yeah. I'm glad you're able to serve it. All right. So now that food prices are going up, you can only go so long eating the cost. What are you doing personally? Have you had to raise prices here and there on stuff on the menu?
We're actually right in the process of raising prices. I mean, we're putting out a new menu this week. So, we've held it as tight as we could for as long as we could, but we've reached that tipping point. And it's not just food. You know, labor is really a big driver here because, you know, with the pandemic, you know, the increased unemployment benefits, a lot of our employees chose to sit on the sidelines and, you know, not work, and It's been tough. We've been competing with a lot of other industries just to get people in to apply for jobs. So we're having to pay more. And that certainly equates to, you know, higher costs. And, you know, again, the only place to get it is to either find ways to be more efficient, which we certainly are doing. And then, you know, it ultimately trickles down onto the menu prices.
Have you had to put the pen down over at the corporate office and go cook, go serve, you and the crew over at HQ, at the corporate office?
Once in a while. I mean, you know, typically they don't like me in the kitchen, but they'll certainly send me to wash dishes.
well, they know where to put you, yeah.
Exactly.
Jeff Frankel is owner of three restaurants in the Dallas area, Tex-Mex restaurants. I'm looking forward to discovering them next time I'm in the Dallas area. Matitos. I hope I said that right. Did I say it right, or you guys pronounce it different up in Dallas?
Matitos. No, you got it correct. Matitos.
Matitos.
And we would welcome you. So come on up and visit us. And everybody who's listening, go out and support your local restaurateurs.
Yeah, we have. There are a lot of local restaurants that survive because we went to bat for them.
Well, we are lucky here in Texas compared to a lot of other parts of the country because, you know, we did open up earlier than most. And, yeah. You know, at least we've been able to serve people and drive some revenue. God bless Texas.
Ending the federal bonus, that extra $300 weekly. On June 26th will be the last one. Are you starting to see maybe some evidence that people are thinking ahead and looking for jobs now because they know that federal bonus will be expiring?
But so far, we have not really seen an uptick in people coming in to apply, but we are optimistic that that will change soon.
I bet you got a big old help wanted sign at the front, all front doors at your places right now.
We do, every restaurant.
Jeff Frankel, owner of Matitos Tex-Mex, North Texas. What hurts the most right now as far as prices, Jeff? Is it beef, chicken? What is it that went up the highest?
Well, beef has been a challenge, and you know, we always brace ourselves. You know, avocados fluctuate a lot, and we certainly go through a lot of that. And those will, you know, wildly range throughout the year, so we're always keeping an eye on that as well. But beef's been certainly a challenge this year.
You know how they said that we have like a chicken wing shortage or a chicken shortage. Has that affected you in any way?
Not for us. I mean, we don't do a lot with wings, but we do have some contracts on chicken, which helped. But time for renewal. I'm sure we'll start to feel the pinch.
Do you see prices going down after you put prices up? They never seem to come down ever.
I'm sorry to say I don't. I don't think they will come down. As long as minimum wage continues to go up, you know, food costs will also be affected by that, you know, and we're going to feel it on both ends. And I can't imagine that we'll see prices ever come back down.
What is your signature dish? What's your Big Mac over at Matitos?
Well, we've got a secret dip that's off menu, guacamole, queso, taco meat, and sour cream. Mm. It's phenomenal. You just got a note to ask for it, but we sell a lot of it. And
okay.
The other thing is we make a really killer chili relleno with pecans and raisins on top.
Oh, I am there. I am so there. Chile relleno, pecans and raisins. And then the guys, you guys go to North Texas, look for Matitos. Again, it's the off-menu dip. Give me the four ingredients that you mentioned to me again, because I'm going to make some at home.
But give me the guacamole.
Guacamole,
chili con queso, sour cream, and taco meat.
Whew, my goodness.
And it's amazing. It's amazing stuff.
My heart skipped a beat, a couple of beats. Oh, my God, that's beautiful. thanks to Jeff Frankel. And I was looking at my calendar. July is almost here, and I say that because CPAC is in Dallas this year. I think I got a seat at the table at Radio Row, so I might be in Dallas looking for those Matitos people here pretty soon. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and we're broadcasting from her Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Appreciate you checking in. The Dana Show also online after the show, after every show. You can get the condensed version of it, the podcast, at danaradio.com. Well, as you heard this hour, Vladimir Putin showering praise on Joe Biden, saying that's what did he say? This guy's like a, he said he's a real diplomat. He's a real diplomat compared to his predecessor. Well, the way they like him, right? The way they really like him in Russia. Don't make any waves. Don't make any noise. You behave now. Yeah. President Trump, you know, the real president we had up until Dopey showed up. Yeah, thanks for voting Democrat, y'all, across the fruited plain. Yeah, thanks a lot. You hated him. You hated Joe. You hated Donald Trump more than you love Joe Biden, more than you love our country. You hated Donald Trump, and I'm hoping and praying he comes back. He is coming back. I don't know if he's coming here specifically to McAllen, Brownsville, Deep South Texas, Dana Show Southern Command. I'd love to see him. But now that Kamala Harris, the borders are, you know, she's not taking care of her assignment from President Biden. She's not come. We're on, what, 80-some-odd days now? About 80 days? She got this gig and hasn't come to the border. Joe Biden hasn't been here to look at the mess he created because it's his. It's all his. Former President Trump, he's coming down here. Governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, says, Mr. President, come on down here. Let's look at the border. Let's look at the Biden border mess. So he will be here. June 30th is the date. Our friend Sarah Carter, a journalist, Sarah Carter, check out her podcast on a regular basis. She had a chance to speak with former President Donald Trump. My conversation with Sarah, and if we can, maybe a little bit of audio in that conversation with Donald Trump. That's coming up next hour of The Dana Show. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show.
Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
The human traffickers are having a field day, making a fortune, and the drug dealers more than they've ever done before. You know, we were stopping more than just having a strong border. Mm-hmm. We were stopping drugs. We were stopping the human trafficking. We were doing things that nobody's ever seen. And then now it's just like an open sieve. It's terrible.
Yeah. He nailed it. That's former President Trump. And I pray to Jesus we can call him President Trump sometime in the distant future. It just seems so far away, doesn't it, amigo? Look at it. 3 years in. If everything stays on course, 3 years and about 5 more months, we have to wait for things to change up in D.C. That little bit of audio is President Trump in a conversation with award-winning, independent, real-deal journalist, Sarah Carter, and she's waiting in the wings right now. Let me open up this hour properly. Hour two of the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from the studios of KURV in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Yeehaw! It's still Texas, still blessed soil. This is Dana's Southern Command. It's an honor that you join in. You want to be a part of the conversation, make it by producer Steve at 844-344-DANA. So last time I spoke with Sarah Carter, which, by the way, check out Sarah's podcast on a regular basis. Part of the series from Sarah is a border security series, and I'll get into that here in just a second. Sarah, my friend, how are you, Patriot?
Sergio, I'm doing great. Happy to be back in the great state of Texas. Love it, love it, love it. There's just no place better. Tell you that all the time. Best place, best food, best everything right here in Texas.
How many weeks did you spend in my market, Rio Grande Valley, Texas, doing border news? You were here quite a few days, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I've been back and forth over the past several months. I mean, I think almost every week. And, you know, I've been coming to Texas since I started covering the border. Gosh, way back when, in like 2004, 2005. I know I might be dating myself there, but I have been covering the border for a good portion of my career. I took a little bit of a hiatus at one point when I was traveling to Afghanistan quite a bit to cover the war coverage yes. when I was there and in Iraq. But I still made the border a priority. And as you can see, even though we've been covering this for decades, unfortunately, what we're seeing right now, it's only gotten worse.
Yeah, President Trump, that little audio we got from your conversation with him, which, by the way, when do you post that conversation with President Trump? When does that go up?
It is up right now. It went up yesterday afternoon. All they have to do is go to the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, wherever they get their podcast. So right there, you go ahead and download it and hear the whole conversation. I think it's important because he covered everything from the border, which I think is my focus, but to the G7 summit and what's happening in the United States under the Biden administration and the irreparable damage that he believes is being done to our country, both economically and on a national security level. And you can really hear it in his voice, that deep concern about what's happening, that everything that they had put in place, his administration has now been reversed. And particularly with the border, we're seeing it just kind of culminate in this tsunami of, you know, of migration to the United States and a failure in border security. Yeah.
Yeah, President Trump called it an open sieve. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's a human tsunami. And you're joining me just in time. Again, this is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana this week. And my guest right now, Sarah Carter, award-winning journalist. Check out her podcast on a regular basis. She's got a new interview with former President Trump. And you're joining me just in time, Sarah, because it was Greg Abbott, our governor in Texas, who invited former President Trump, and he's coming. It's going to be June 30th. We can't find the illegal immigration Biden border mess czar, Kamala Harris. He ain't coming out. It's been like, I think, almost 80 days now that she was appointed to fix this or address the issue. She ain't coming, and neither is Joe Biden, but former President Trump is coming down here and bringing the cameras with him and shining a light on this, the number one problem in our country, this human tsunami of illegal immigration. Man, I'm so grateful he's coming down here again June 30th, going to be part of the big news. You said that you did, and you said you did some work in Afghanistan, and I'm thinking of the words from President Trump and that first cut that we played from your interview with him, talking about enriching the cartels. There's some Border Patrol guys that you speak with, the same people I speak with are down here. They say, well, easily $5 billion, easily. And they're accounting just per head what the standard price is for the cartels to manage these people to come into this country. Explain to working people who are not familiar with how the cartels have shifted a lot of their money-making operation from, let's say, marijuana, which is a common drug now, to making money off of human beings, like heads of cattle here at the border.
Oh, absolutely. You hit it right on the money. We're talking a human. This is a a human tragedy. I don't know how to explain it anymore to people. I just returned from Guatemala, where Kamala Harris spent like a day and then jetted out to Mexico to spend like a day and then left and disappeared. And I had an opportunity to interview both President Yamate of Guatemala, as well as visit some of the villages in the area outside of Guatemala City that have been most affected by the migration. I have talked to people who have expressed to me how dangerous this journey is for migrants, how they are put into servitude, basically slavery, once they reach the United States. Think about this, $13,000 to $16,000 is what I am told now is the cost for the cartels and the human traffickers to move a person. This is just from Guatemala, maybe the mountains of San Rafael, all the way to the United States. Well, when they don't have the money to pay it back, or when they don't have family that can pay it back, what happens to these young people? What happens to the women? What happens to the young boys and to the men? Well, they go into servitude. They go into working some shadow underground population in the United States that is basically being treated as slaves. I am, you know, in Texas dealing with both the Texas Department of Public Safety, amazing work that they do, the Texas, as well as the DEA and other federal agencies that are dealing with this right now. And they're seeing an escalation in what they call human trafficking here. This is a humanitarian crisis. It's also a national security crisis, Sergio. I don't think people really comprehend how dangerous this is and how many groups, like I worked in Afghanistan covering terrorism, like Al-Qaeda, as well as Islamic State and other terrorist organizations. Look at this open wide border right now under the Biden administration. And just like President Trump said, find that it's a way of moving their way in through these loopholes. How can we get our sleeper cells in, like they saw with the two Yemeni men that were taken in California and apprehended that were connected to terrorist organization? So there is a lot of issues here that are not being addressed by the Biden administration. And Vice President Kamala Harris, she was put in charge of this, and she has refused to come to the border. She has refused to actually see the reality of what is happening here on the ground.
Because they'd have to own up that this is their mess.
Right.
They created this. We did not have this mess on the border with Donald Trump. It did not exist until he showed up. And right now we've got, as I was saying earlier in the week, like an immigration Black Friday, everybody rushing through the door trying to get in here as quickly as possible. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash this week. And my guest right now, Sarah Carter. Check out her podcast. She has a new interview with President Donald Trump, former President Trump. Talk with Sarah. It just like in time, Sarah shows up because we find out yesterday that President Trump is coming to the border. And look, it's a long border. I don't know if he's coming to McAllen, Brownsville. Well, we'd love to see him down here because, after all, this is the favorite crossing point for all these illegal immigrants is right here in deep South Texas. He could go into Laredo, could be going to El Paso, San Diego. I don't know. But he's going to the border doing a lot more than what the present administration is doing, trying to shine a light on this mess of illegal immigration that's here at the border. I'm almost out of time in this segment. Sarah, I appreciate you making time for us. I know in previous conversations with you, in case folks didn't know this about you, that you're a Latina, right? You're Cuban.
Yes,
Cuban.
I am. Yes, I am. I'm half Cuban, but I mean, I feel whole Latina inside because I grew up with such an amazing mother and such an amazing family from Cuba, where I spoke Spanish from when I was a little girl. And it always surprises people because when I, it's just part of the culture. I feel it. I grew up in it. But look, I'm an American, just like my mom said. We're all Americans from so many different places in the world. We love immigration. We just want it to be the right way. And if people really cared about the people that are coming here, they would put a stop to the abuse that's happening at the border.
Your dad was in the military, right? He's a veteran?
Correct. Yeah. He was a veteran of World War II and Korea. My dad is just was an amazing man. I loved him dearly. I lost him when I was young. But, you know, they instilled in me my love for this country and instilled in me my love for, you know, for really defending those freedoms and the foundation of our Constitution. That the reason why everybody wants to come from all over the world. I get it. I get it. I tell people all the time, I get why you want to come here. Who wouldn't want to live in the United States of America? But we've got to protect that. And we've got to ensure that that goes on for all future generations, no matter where we're from, no matter what our backgrounds. And the only way we can do that is by telling the truth and exposing and shedding light on it and standing up for what's right.
I was trying to make a comparison. And I can't say, you know, I blame them, the folks who try to cross the border illegally. They've been lied to by the cartels, told that they can say incredible right. fear and stay here. The cartels are not going to be telling them, oh, you guys, did you guys notice that the high court in a unanimous decision, the protected class, people came here after hurricanes and earthquakes and war in Syria and all that. They're not going to get green cards. Now, they're not going to be sharing any of that information. All these people who are crossing the border illegally, it seems that once and forever, they're screwing up their opportunity to do it the right way and come to this country. And I don't blame them because, look, I don't see, like you mentioned your mom, I mentioned your mom. I don't see boatloads mm-hmm. of people from Florida going down to Cuba. I don't see folks from Central America
right.
who don't have the economic opportunity that they try to attain in this country. I don't see them. I see them in Central America taking the 1,000-plus mile journey to the U.S.-Mexican border, where Venezuela, with all its natural resources and potential, is right next door. It's just a few hundred miles away. They're not going to Venezuela. In fact, we got 10,000 Venezuelans that have crossed the border right. illegally the past several months down here because capitalism works, socialism sucks. And that's the truth, amigo. Which, by the way, I mentioned the whole Cuban thing. You've been exercising your Spanish, right? You've been putting it to good use here on the border, talking with
I have been, right? I have been practicing. My family is so proud of me. My aunt, if my mom was alive, she would be so proud. You know, it's hard. You got to keep it up. You got to practice.
Yes.
unfortunately, yes. for some of the people I've spoken to, unfortunately for them, they've had to put up with my Spanglish. And then for others, I've been very impressive. So it's just, you know, getting back into the flow of things, getting used to it again. I feel very comfortable though. And I love telling these stories because I think they're just that important. Just that important. Remember, people are coming from all over the world. Of course, the bulk we see from Central America and South America, but we've got people coming from Africa, China, the Middle East, Yemen, the yeah. Far East. And so when I tell, you know, when I talk to people about this, I say, look, we had 75 nations at our border this year, right? Coming in illegally.
Yeah.
And how many people came in that we never detected and that we'll never know that have melded into the fabric of our nation and possibly some of them possess a national security threat to our country.
Yep.
Maybe
yep.
some of them have a criminal threat. We don't yep. know. We don't know because we don't know who they are.
We've got some pretty intelligent guesses from 10-4. We got some pretty intelligent right. guesses. I'll share that after we go pay some bills. But Sarah, big hug to you. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you down here again. Sarah Carter, check out her podcast on a regular basis. She's already uploaded her conversation with former President Donald Trump. Donald Trump coming to the U.S.-Mexican border on June 30th. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show from South Texas.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Red meat, black coffee. Well, since we're on the foodie stuff, I ran out of time in my conversation with journalist Sarah Carter. You know, she's a Latina. She's half Cuban. And since I'm a foodie, I feel the snowflake negative cancel culture tension already, and just my suspicions about you people. This is not misogynistic of me. I'm loving on food and my Cuban family culture. I'm not I'm Cuban. I'm just saying, you know, fellow you know, North American, this part of the hemisphere, Latin American folks and Cuban folks. I asked her if she can cook a genuine, real deal black beans and perfect rice. And she said, yeah, LOL. Yes, absolutely. She did that the other day. That's like one of the standard staples of at dinner time. Black beans, delicious black beans, kind of soupy, and perfect white rice, kind of a little bit, still a little bit firm, a little hard. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I mentioned this story that's in my neck of the woods, just south of the U.S.-Mexican border, in a place I grew up as a boy, Reynosa, Mexico. There's a bus accident down there. 9 people dead, 20 injured, bus wreck. The way the story has developed, they say that the bus driver was running, floored away from thieves. You know, down there, the cartels control the highways. And they got gangs out there with rifles and pistols, pulling people over, fleecing them down. Well, the driver, it seems that he floored it, tried to run away, and the bus flipped. Anyway, 9 dead just south of our border. Did you get that in national news? No. It won't tell you that the cartels run everything south of the border. And the chief over at ERCOT, the electric grid for Texas, say, nothing to look at here, people. We're fine. We're working just fine. I'm Sergio Sanchez from her Southern Command in South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
You know, remember, you know, Putin made it his mission to deny me the presidency in part because, you know, I did raise issues that were uncomfortable with him. I did speak out about the oppression and, frankly, the rigged elections in Russia, because I do think you need both an inside and an outside game. You need a public and a private approach to Putin.
And my apologies. I was telling producer Steve, I didn't want to play that, but no one's forcing me to. It's just, it's this entire lie of Russia, 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 and how Russia influenced the election and Russia stole the election from Hillary Clinton. It's, you know, to be polite without having to say another word, the attention gluten, Hillary Clinton, wanting and elbowing her way in, trying to say something about Vladimir Putin. And she lost because she was probably, quite frankly, probably the worst presidential candidate ever. She lost because she did not work the campaign in the swing states. She lost because the American people just sick and tired of government as usual. And they were willing to let an outsider who never won dog catcher go to Washington, D.C., a businessman, to take the reins and drain the swamp. That's why Hillary Clinton lost. Not because Russia, Russia, Russia. Everything, the steel dossier, the whole peeing on the bed with prostitutes and all that, all the lies that purchased by her Democrat Party, purchased by her party, her campaign, to create this dossier that wound up ricocheting within the secret courts of our country, allowing for this bogus investigation, millions of dollars to be wasted, an impeachment hearing that led to the president being no-billed. He did nothing wrong. There was no Russian conspiracy. But there she is. After all those lies, after the American press swallowed wholesale all those lies and kept perpetuating a whole clueless news network, Clinton News Network at that point, again, just breaking news, new information this afternoon on the investigation into, you know, the Russians. There was never anything there, nothing. It was a lie from the beginning. And many people still believe that lie. They believe to this day, they still believe that Russia stole the election. No, they didn't. It was all a lie. Anyway, welcome to hour two of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash. President Biden, he's in the middle of a news conference right now. President Vladimir Putin finished a little while ago. And President Biden, there was a little, I heard a little cut from Biden. Thanks to Steve for feeding that audio to me. He was making mention against what Hillary Clinton was talking about. This perpetuating the lie and all her sycophants and all the Democrat Party apologists on the leftist media, which is the majority of the American press, still believing that Russia played a role in influencing the election. No, they didn't. It was all a lie because Hillary Clinton lost. She had her butt and pants shorts handed back to her by Donald Trump and the American people, who were sick of politics as usual. But Joe Biden, he's out there perpetuating the lie as well. Made reference to the about, you know, talking with Vladimir Putin about influencing the election or influencing any other country's elections, as if the U.S. government doesn't do that as well. Man, I recall under the Obama administration, Bibi Netanyahu just barely lost a few days back in their weird construct of a parliamentary system, multi-party system, and then the secondary, tertiary vote, whatever. They've got a new prime minister now. First time, ooh, and it seems like forever, Bibi Netanyahu is out. But I recall a time when Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, he got himself real active in endorsing and supporting an opposition candidate, somebody to try to take out Bibi Netanyahu. I still remember that. There was nobody in this leftist Democrat Party water-carrying sycophant press. I don't recall anyone back then saying, oh, President Barack Obama trying to influence the Israeli election. It has always been in the interest of varying administrations to somehow do something to influence elections that will favor us as a country, better trading partner, a more sympathetic ear, for whatever reason it is. In the case of Barack Obama wanting to oust or wanting to see the defeat of Bibi Netanyahu. And Bibi Netanyahu is what I remember. He trounced his opponent. Obama had zero effect whatsoever. The great Messiah and savior Barack Obama, he, as a result of supporting his opponent, well, Obama got trounced as well. We're not going to have you influencing our election, said the Israelis. And that's hypocrisy on the part of Joe Biden. And anyone, you believe the U.S. isn't trying to influence election? We constantly are. And so is everybody else for that matter. Which plays, again, emphasizes how disgusting this lie and this drama was by Hillary Clinton. How expensive it was as well. All right, let me go back to what Sarah and I were talking about. I wanted to mention to you, because towards the end, Sarah was, by the way, I just finished a conversation, and you should go back and listen on the podcast. Producer Steve will condense all the audio. He does every single day. Awesome, Producer Steve. He will condense it and onboard it to danaradio.com. And listen to hour two. I spoke with the beginning of hour two, this hour, with Sarah Carter, journalist Sarah Carter. She just conducted a conversation with former President Trump. President Trump is coming to the U.S.-Mexican border, the place that Kamala Harris, the border czar, will not visit because there's a mess on the border that her boss, Joe Biden, created, the Biden border mess. Kids in cages, families crossing, kids crossing alone, families crossing, gaming the asylum system, 180,000 last month, 178,000 the previous month. And here we go, kids. It's even worse than that. There's so many problems that branch off to this. We didn't even touch on the individuals that die in the South Texas wilderness. Here in my market, the Dana Show Southern Command, McAllen, Texas, McAllen, Brownsville. You head north from here, there's nothing but ranch country. And there's about 60-some-odd miles on foot in 100-plus degree summer weather. If you don't take enough refreshments with you, if you don't take enough water with you, you're going to die in the wilderness, and they will find your bones like they do 60 miles north of us. The sheriff's deputies and folks in rural areas, they find hundreds of people dead every single year along the southwest border. I got 100-plus here, 100-plus in Arizona, just dead. No one's emphasizing that. That's criminal. The fact that Joe Biden is encouraging, through his policies, through his non-enforcement of border policy, of non-enforcement of border law, that we have laws in the books that need to be enforced to secure our border, to stop illegal behavior, stop, discourage illegal crossings. Who's going to say in the American press that the blood of all these people who believed a lie from the cartels telling them just make it there, make it into the country, You'll be able to work, make some money, tell Border Patrol some story about violence in your country. You'll be able to get in there, and you'll be able to stay and wait your asylum hearing. Lies, nothing but lies. And the cartel's making money. We touched on that, Sarah Carter and I did. But who in the press is going to put the blood of all these people, all these dead people that we now see again? We're barely starting to take the count now. We're going to have to wait till the end of summer to find all these bodies in ranch country, bones of them in ranch country, here in South Texas, all across the southwest border. Donald Trump is coming to the border to shine a light on the Biden border mess because they created it. And on what Sarah and I were talking about, Sarah Carter and I were talking about, again, check out her podcast. Check out her latest interview with Donald Trump, because they touched on this. I'm going to touch on something that Sarah was alluding to, because the same people Sarah was talking to when she came down to her interview with folks here on the border, same people I talk with and we talk with all the time here. And if you want to keep up to speed on what's taking place on the southwest border, you know, the big news, the nobody in big media, New York's not talking about the news decision-making gods and the big, pretty, expensive, big budgeted glass towers and news departments up there distracting you with all sorts of nonsense. And they've probably dedicated more airtime broadcasting news and information about the royal family and babies being born, or, you know, some disgruntled princess who's not talking to her dad anymore. Irrelevant news. This is the biggest problem of our country right now. An absolutely porous open border. It's not a sieve. A correction to what President Trump said. It's a human tsunami was taking place. The same people that Sarah talks to on her, and she's got in a series of her podcast series, she's got border interviews. 50% catch rate right now. That's the best guess. My Border Patrol friends and family here on the Texas-Mexico border, they're catching 50%. Of the 50%, the best guess, because they're able to process these human beings, put some background checks and check for criminal records, and sometimes they entered again. That's a felony the second time they run through. But roughly about 20% of the 50%, they only catch half of the illegal immigrants. And of that half, about 20% have a criminal record, DWI, shoplifting, whatever it is, just any type of criminal record. And about 10%, 10, 15% of those individuals with a criminal record, which is an even smaller number, right? You following me? They only catch half. About 20% have a criminal record. And about 10, 50, maybe 20% are hard criminals. I read to you yesterday here on the Dana Show, press releases from Border Patrol on MS-13 gang members, child rapists, individuals that they caught. What about those individuals they didn't catch? The hard, hard criminals are coming into this country on a regular basis. Thanks to, and now the numbers are even worse, thanks to Joe Biden, his lax border policy, border law enforcement. It's non-existent. And may I remind you again, friend, I could talk about this all day till blue in the face. I frankly, we need to as a nation, because we can solve this problem, amigo. I'm convinced of it. We can. We just need to focus on the nation. Gosh darn it, this is the nation that went to the moon. You know, cliche that is. We focus as a nation to fix border security problems, abuse of border policy, the gaming of asylum policy, asylum laws, set up the proper mechanism for individuals who are being oppressed for religious reasons and political reasons in their country of origin, so that they can come to an American consulate, an American embassy, and ask for assistance and rescue. We are a compassionate nation, but we are also a nation of laws, and we must follow these laws. We have chaos right now on the border. This is the number one problem in our country. And we got Governor Greg Abbott, bless his heart. He's setting up, in fact, today, and just, I mean, we broadcast the Dana Show noon to 3 Eastern. I know some of y'all pick up the broadcast at a later time at 9. Tell your station managers, tell your program directors at the station, we want the top news talker in our nation, Dana Lash, straight up live every single day so we can participate on the show. You call your radio station listening to the Dana Show later in the day. And I say this because after this program, about 3 o'clock Central, 4 Eastern, Governor Greg Abbott here in Texas, blessed soil, God bless us to keep Texas going. When we lose Texas, we lose a nation, politically speaking. But Governor Greg Abbott, after this program, he's going to provide more information, more details on the Texas Border Wall Project. And part of it is it's going to be like a crowdfunded GoFundMe project where people can put some money in the wall piggy bank to help Texas ranchers, Texas property owners. Those are the ones who are getting their butts kicked. People in the cities, like right here in McAllen, Brownsville, you got to go to downtown McAllen to see the hundreds and hundreds of illegal immigrants being processed. They're going through the processing centers down here, and they're carrying kids and their bags, and you know they're wearing decent looking clothing and shoes. They came all the way over here. You know, they're just filling up, but they're leaving our market. The people around here don't have to worry about it. It's the rural country. It's ranch country. It's the property owners. It's the cattle herd owners, the cattle ranchers and the farmers. Their ranches, their properties, their lives being threatened. They're being attacked. And those are the folks that are pressing our governor to do something. These ranchers in West Texas, they're volunteering their land to set up some type of barrier, some type of wall in cooperation with Border Patrol to siphon coal and siphon the traffic in a direction where Border Patrol can catch them. We're desperate here in Texas. It is the federal government's job to secure the border. If they're not doing it, Texas is going to try to build a wall, and you can contribute to that. More information coming up this afternoon after the Dana Show. Go look for it. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to the Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and get the podcast of the program. Producer Steve going to condense all that. Lots of great audio from this program today. Again, catch the interview with Sarah Carter. I got a conversation with Dr. John Fleming. He's been on the program before. Dr. John Fleming, next hour of the show, his comments on the Wuhan lab and all the growing national suspicions that COVID-19 might have been an accident. You know, looking at this and hoping, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt, and we're hoping it's an accident, maybe a couple of research, two or three who got sick November before the December outbreak of COVID-19 in China, in Wuhan, China. They got sick. They worked at the lab. They were sick. They had COVID type symptoms in the hospital. Where's the blood samples? No one can check that. But anyway, Dr. John Fleming will be commenting on that. It's back in the news in part because of the news that people consume late night TV. Does a real disservice in keeping people stupid and ignorant. But tell you what, we had John Stewart showed up to the show. One of those late night shows I haven't watched in a long time. And he was joking, but, you know, they say all comedy is rooted in truth. And he went at it, man. He went to town. And lots of people talking about the whole Chinese lab again because of that. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This note from Tampa. Probably a good idea if you're going to serve as your own attorney in a capital murder trial, not to represent yourself and not to scream at the jury. So this guy facing capital murder charges in Tampa, killing his girlfriend and their daughter, opened up his defense by yelling, screaming at the jury. By the time this is all done, you will see who is the mass murderer in Tampa Bay. Said the 911 call was fake. And this note, let's see, from Brooksville City Council, small town in Florida. They sold a parcel of land to a guy hoping to set up a business, a gym, personal training business. Problem was that they sold the land and the water tower to the guy. At the same time, he immediately gave it back to the city. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
In the spirit, Mr. President, of you saying that there is no substitute for face-to-face
dialogue and also with what you said at NATO that the biggest problems right now are Russia and China? You've spoken many times about how you've spent perhaps more time with President Xi than any other world leader. So is there going to become a time where you might call him old friend to old friend and ask him to open up China to the World Health Organization investigators who are trying to get to the bottom of COVID-19?
Let's get something straight. We know each other well. We're not old friends. It's just pure business.
So I guess my question would be, you've said that you were going to press China. You signed on to the G7 communique that said the G7 were calling on China to open up, to let the investigators in. But China basically says they don't want to be interfered with anymore. So what happens now?
The impact, the world's attitude toward China as it develops. China's trying very hard to project itself as a responsible and very, very forthcoming nation. That they are trying very hard to talk about how they're taking and helping the world in terms of COVID-19.
Whatever. Seriously. I mean, China's trying really hard to, you know, play on the world safe. You know what? Okay, let me set this stage properly. This is hour three of the Dana Show for a Wednesday. Welcome to the program. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, who's taking a well-deserved week off. Bless you, my friend. And you want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262. Catch the podcast later today, DanaRadio.com. Okay, shoulda, woulda, coulda, because, you know, I'm looking at all these sound cuts and the news coming in and Biden saying, you know, the last thing Vladimir Putin wants is another Cold War and there'll be consequences for more cyber attacks if he doesn't enforce that. And, you know, Alexei Navalny, if he dies, like, I don't know what's going to happen. It's just a bunch of platitudes and tough talk and nothing. On the issue of China, which is, I mean, that's a 700-pound dragon in the room that should have been addressed, shoulda, woulda, could have been addressed by a real leader, a real president. This was an opportunity. Now that all signs are pointing back to China, to the Wuhan coronavirus laboratory in Wuhan, China. What are the coincidences? And again, we'll play John, of all people, helping the the low information crowd in our country concentrate on the facts. And consider again, no thanks to Dr. Fauci, no thanks to him. Now, reconsider all this evidence that maybe it was the Wuhan laboratory. Oh, look what the coincidence. John Stewart on late night television helping the low information crowd on late night TV concentrate on the possibility it was the Wuhan lab. Everybody commenting on this from Europe, U.S., all sorts of officials, Democrats and Republicans, everybody seems to be looking in that direction now. We don't have the bat. We don't have the gerbil. We don't have the armadillo. I don't know, whatever. We don't have the animal that transferred the COVID virus to human being. It doesn't exist. No one's shown it to us yet. Where's the investigation on that? We do have a government in China that continuously tried to suppress information, arrested journalists, arrested doctors, anybody who posted information to the contrary. They controlled the message. They controlled the narrative. They still, to this day, they don't want anybody investigating them. This was a shoulda, woulda, coulda opportunity. This whole G7 that came and went, NATO that came and went, and this conversation with Vladimir Putin, because after all, China is its neighbor. They're right next door. Next time some pathogen goes into the air, could be in another part of China, if it's more aggressive, like let's say Senator Dr. Real Medical Dr. Rand Paul made mention of this, and other folks have been talking about this. COVID had a 1% less than a 1% fatality rate. And look at the devastation. Yeah, I know you can come at me and say, well, Serge, they declared some people dead from COVID that actually died like in a traffic accident. They had COVID, they were declared. Those are small numbers. It's still, we're looking at about 600,000, a little less than 600,000. I know it's the numbers above that, but if you extract all the people that were declared dead because of COVID, because they had COVID but didn't actually die from COVID, from pneumonia, all the cases of pneumonia and anybody who died from COVID because they're their organs collapsed and they stopped working on them. We have hundreds of thousands of Americans dead, millions of people worldwide. That's less than 1% fatality rate from COVID. What if it had been something like a MERS or a SARS or something more aggressive? 15% fatality rate. Can you even try to wrap your head around that? Well, guess who's neighbors with China? This conversation that took place between Joe Biden, the weak-handed Bidens are propping this guy up, this empty suit, empty-headed individual representing our country embarrassingly, make just a mockery of the U.S. presidency and our country. No leadership. This A Double Snakes is leading from behind. Like a real horse's, A Double Snakes. You should see the pictures coming. The G7, he was like at the end of the line, all the leaders in front of him. That's the way things are right now. This was an opportunity for a real American president to state, for example, the things I just told you. State point by point, all the individuals that we know were arrested, that try to publish online what was taking place in China, that posted videos that were taken down, the suspicion from different doctors, how aggressive this virus was. It didn't seem natural. The fact that it was Wuhan, the fact that they don't have any animals, all these things, just put it in front of these world leaders because they know. Absolutely, they know. They have their suspicions as well. This was an opportunity to hold China's feet to the fire, don't you think? This is was an opportunity for a real American president to say, gang, China was irresponsible. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're not going to say that they weaponized this, but China screwed up. They had, we know now, they had three technicians, Wuhan Coronavirus Virology Institute, three of them that got sick November, right before the big bloom in December. Just go by the facts. Point by point by point with the G7 and tell the G7, gang, don't you dare buy stolen 5G technology, computer technology, software technology, electronics, rocket technology. Don't buy cheap, state-sponsored, subsidized, capitalism-killing products from China. We need to send a statement to China. Open up. Let's investigate for the sake of protecting everyone, protecting China, protecting the world. Heck, the conversation could have switched over to Russia and Vladimir Putin and say, Vladimir, let's say the next virus that's engineered to be a real killer, make it real easy to kill human beings. Instead of having a 1% fatality rate, less than 1% fatality rate, let's say it's a 15%. Oh, no. Guess what, Vladimir? You're right next door. Your neighbor is going to be spilling this into the atmosphere. People are going to be traveling to Mother Russia. And you guys are going to get, you're among the first ones to take it in the groin. In Moscow. And because after all, they're right next door. Huh? So what do you say you join us, Vladimir, in demanding that China open up to a Russian, U.S., European Federation, World Health Organization, a real deal investigation to get to the bottom of this for the sake of protecting the world, protecting China, protecting the world from another accidental release of the coronavirus. That, amigo, is the shoulda, woulda, coulda opportunity that is now gone. G7 conversation, nothing like that happened. No world leaders demanding China open up, or else they won't buy 5G technology, or won't buy cheap Chinese knockoff, stolen patent technology of whatever products. No, nobody said it. Why? Because there's no leadership in Washington. There's a power vacuum in Washington. Nothing happened at NATO. NATO, you know what I didn't hear? And I was saying this yesterday. We are less than 90 days away from leaving Afghanistan. We, the United States of America, 20 years after. I get it. Okay, we need to leave. I didn't hear anything from President Biden. I didn't hear anything from anyone at NATO on what is the follow-up plan. What is like Turkey going to step in and provide a military force in Kabul, the only area that really has any Western-style government, to protect all the interpreters, translators, the teachers teaching little girls you know, how to read and write. You know, the more liberal government, Kabul, the more Western style, non-religious, well, semi-religious, but more open government in Kabul. That's not Taliban. Who's going to protect them? No one talked about that. Like, who's going to take the translators? Who's going to take the teachers who are teaching little girls? Who's going to take the office workers, government workers for that Western style government propped up by the U.S. and Western allies? Who's going to take all these, the tens of thousands, more than likely tens of thousands of people that need to be evacuated? Because with less than 90 days to go, you know, the Taliban, they're, forgive me for saying it this way, but it's the truth. They're sharpening their swords, getting ready to slice heads once they go into Kabul. No one said anything. Why? Because we have no leadership. We do not have a president right now. There's a power vacuum in D.C. And yeah, Europe is real happy. Yeah, Vladimir is real happy giving compliments to Joe Biden, because that's precisely what European so-called allies and friends, precisely what Vladimir Putin want. They want an irrelevant presidency. They want an irrelevant United States of America. They want to run the show. Let me see what else is in the news here. News out of D.C., Juneteenth is getting closer to becoming a federal holiday. That's around the corner, June 19th. That will be this coming, Saturday, right? Juneteenth is the date on our calendar. It's Texas-based. I know Senator John Cornyn is working on this with other senators. It looks like this legislation might move forward. They're getting ready to create a new federal holiday up in D.C., an official federal holiday, marking the date in 1865, post-Civil War, black population in Texas via boat. It came into Galveston Bay via boat. Folks from the Union came in and said, war's over. Slaves have been emancipated. And folks in Galveston, Texas heard on June 19th, 1865, that slavery was done. So this is moving forward pretty fast up in D.C. Something to watch. And something from today from the Department of Education. The Biden Department of Education extending protections under Title IX to transgender students. And like I said yesterday, it never seemed, when it comes to sports, transgender sports, why is it, amigo? Why is it that it's never an issue? You never hear nightly news stories in your local market or from nearby universities, stories of how male athletes feel that they're being discriminated against or losing an opportunity for scholarships or losing matches or wrestling matches or races when it comes to girls or women who identify as males and are now playing on the boy teams, on the male teams, the biological male teams. Hmm? It's always the other way around because of nature. Anyway, the Department of Education extending protections under Title IX to transgender students, prohibiting sex-based discrimination in any school or education program that receives federal money. Well, thankfully, federal money is only about 5 to 7, maybe 10% of what some of these schools do, but the Biden Education Secretary, Miguel Cardona, saying students cannot be discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. There you go. What do we call it? The attack, the war on girls' sports, opportunities for girls in college women's sports. It continues. Men who declare themselves as women, they got every right to go in there, protected by the federal government. And the money that they wield in front of these schools, protected by them, to go in there and seize those opportunities and pin those women down on the wrestling floor. 21 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash this week.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Seeking and reporting truth every single day. This is The Dana Show. In my heart, in my mind, and it's the truth. And the way she does, man, she's the top talker, period. And I know the show plays at different times later in the day, but we're repositioning all the programming on the radio. You tell your program director, local, wherever you are, you tell them, hey, I want Dana live, noon to 3 Eastern. Let's go. Let's start talking news and information, because it's It's a huge buffet, and it's truth every single day. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Another example of the lure, money-making lure of illegal immigration. Here in Texas, we got a couple of service members in trouble with the law. Fort Hood soldier and a Pennsylvania National Guardsman in custody. $75,000 bond for each of them. They were caught at a Border Patrol checkpoint several miles inland trying to sneak some illegal aliens inside their vehicle, inside their truck. I saw this story about Moderna and how the U.S. government had purchased an additional 200 million doses of the Moderna coronavirus vaccine. It's going to last them through 2022. I was asking, like, why? Why? Like, don't we have excess supply? Don't we have all these coronavirus vaccine events that are empty right now? We've got plenty of supply of vaccine, Pfizer, Moderna, everything else. Like, why spend so much money? We don't have any money to spend on this. We have an excess supply. Everyone who wanted the vaccine already got it, right? And you can't say it's for the kids because Pfizer is the only vaccine for the kids right now. Hey, stick around. My conversation with Dr. John Fleming. He was a member of the Donald Trump COVID Task Force. Coming up on The Dana Show.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
I think Donnie is holding on to this hypothesis tightly. Now, why would that be? Sometimes scientists, when they get on, they bite into a bone on a hypothesis, it's hard for them to move on. I guess if I'm disappointed about anything about the early scientific community, is that there seemed to be lack of openness to pursue both hypotheses.
Some might say deception as well. Dr. Fauci, the emails and the sleight of hand distracting people away from the potential for that Wuhan lab as the potential source. It's still a suspect. So is a still unnamed animal. If it's natural, where's the animal? That's the suspect animal. But the lab is suspect as well. Yeah, that was a comment from Robert Redfield, the former director for the CDC. He was on Fox talking about that. The evidence is backing up the lab leak theory. Welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in from my friend Dana Lash. During the break, I was listening to Joe Biden. He was talking to reporters right before he got on the airplane. And again, he was making mention. He took the bait from Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin actually got some hard questions from a couple of reporters. They were asking about Alexei Navalny and what happens if he dies. How come all the opponents for Vladimir Putin have disappeared? They're all dead or they're gone. They're missing. And some pretty strong questions. And Vladimir Putin throws it back. Said, "Well, you know, y'all had people storm the Capitol January 6th. And like, what does that have to do with anything? And Joe Biden, being the numbskull that he is, Lord help us. Look, you guys just, when you pray for our nation, if you're the praying type, pray for him. You're called to do that. You know that. Just pray for Joe Biden. God help him, give him wisdom. But my goodness, he doesn't have to. He, again, proving in that final bit of audio that I heard when he was talking to the reporters, it just seems that Joe Biden, man, he doesn't have two brain cells to rub together sometimes. Maybe he's just tired like he always is. He already did his 5 hours for the day. It's time for nappy nap time on the plane. He bought it. He made what Vladimir Putin used as a red herring is an irrelevant comment on January 6th. From a serious question why all his political opponents are gone, he makes reference to January 6th. Because desperately he's looking for something. He's got nothing else. He's got no answer. And Joe Biden, he bought it too, and he went to that well because he's got nothing else. The Democrats don't have anything. Amigo, examine the political realities taking place right now. Do not buy into the continuing lie and narrative from the left. January 6th is all they have. That's what Joe Biden was talking right before he went on the plane. He was making reference to January 6th, the shock, the disbelief. And that's all they have. That's all they can go to. They need the American public. They need the American voter to concentrate on January 6th, to force the issue of January 6th. That's all they have. And for all idiots that went to Washington, D.C. and went on the Capitol and participated in that, letting their emotions get the best of them. Well, congratulations. You gave aid and comfort and ammunition to America's political enemies. Instead of saying something about China, Wuhan, the stolen technology, all 5G, intellectual property that's stolen, instead of saying something about, you know, something about Russia, Navalny as a parting shot today, Afghanistan, hello, I've been asking about Afghanistan. He, Joe Biden and the Democrats, they need January 6th to stay in the news, to stay in the minds of voters. Distracting everybody to make sure that nobody looks at his child, Hunter. And when he was saying earlier about being all business with China, what China business dealings with infrastructure companies taking half the cut for the big guy? And it's definitely not going to be about the border either. All right, so he's gone. He went on the plane. He's out of there in that meeting with Joe Biden. So, Steve, I know you've got the audio. The reason that the Wuhan lab is back in the news, we'll play a little bit of John Stewart forcing the issue on late night TV. Go ahead, amigo.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no, if you look at the name, let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan.
Yeah. All right. Well, you get it. Go look it online. It's very entertaining and a real service to the country. Thank you, John Stewart. So I called an amigo who was a member, a real deal doctor, who was a member of the Donald Trump Task Force on COVID-19. Dr. John Fleming, go ahead, brother. So the lab leak theory received a violent and yet very entertaining push into the spotlight. Thank you to comedian John Stewart on Late Night. Say, the lab, it's named after the coronavirus. It's called Coronavirus Lab Wuhan. Anyway, you heard the audio on that. Now let me bring in an expert who knows about all these things, because after all, he was a member of the President Trump COVID Task Force. Dr. John Fleming, he's a real doctor and former Louisiana congressman as well. Dr. John, I appreciate your time. So, sure. You know, we've discovered because of these emails related to Dr. Fauci, the best way I can describe it, Doc, is Dr. Fauci's sleight of hand. He says, oh, no, don't pay attention to that. No, it's more than likely naturally produced. Well, we don't have the animal. And here we are a year later, and it seems that all these arrows are now pointing back to the Wuhan lab that we cannot, and I don't know if we will ever be able to investigate. Had Dr. Fauci, had he not used the sleight of hand, that's the way I described it at the beginning, and been open with the media and the world and said, it could have been natural, it could have been a lab leak. They're equal. Don't be discounting one or the other. How might things have turned out different, either politically or in research?
Well, I think once the pandemic occurred, the actual origin of it doesn't matter with regard to the outcome. 600,000 plus Americans have died from it. 3 million and maybe much more than that worldwide have and will die from it. So it doesn't change. It doesn't change the outcome. There was no way we could have stopped it any better than we did, whether it came from a lab or from an animal. However, there were a lot of questions right from the beginning. There were a lot of strange coincidences, like the only level 4 virology lab in the entire country of China, and China is a very big geographically and also population-wise country. The only lab in the entire country was exactly where the first cases were found. And on the other hand, these wet markets, these animal markets, are all across the country. So isn't that a strange coincidence? So that made us very suspicious of the White House from the very beginning. Now, as far as Dr. Fauci is concerned, the only thing consistent about Dr. Fauci I have found, and again, I sat very close to him in the meeting rooms. The only thing consistent I can say is he loves the camera and the microphone. He's been all over the place on every subject, whether it's masks. First he said it's dangerous to wear them, and then he evolved into you have to wear two of them.
And eventually admitted that that was a lie, purposeful, to try to preserve the inventory in our country for
Atlanta. And that's quite true. Yeah. I was in those meetings when
he
said that.
Can you believe him after that? You know, why should we believe him after that, right?
Well, of course. What the case he made to us, which kind of sounds reasonable, but overall makes no sense, is, well, look, if we say everybody needs to wear a mask, we'll dry up the inventory, and the poor healthcare workers won't even have masks to do surgery. But then we began to think about it and say, well, look, you just use a scarf or something, double it over, and you probably do just as well as a paper mask. And besides, there's no such thing as a complete barrier, like except for maybe an N95, which were rare. So anyway, that was a nonsense argument from the get-go, but that's kind of where it all began. But getting back to the subject, the other thing that we learned later that we didn't know in the White House was that he's largely responsible for funding for virology research in that area at Wuhan. And so now it makes you suspicious. Well, then, was he deliberately misleading us away from the possibility of an accident and to consider, in fact, that he didn't want blowback from this, which he's getting to a great degree now, and justifiably so. So, again, as knowledge and information has amounted in this, more and more supports the fact that it was a lab accident, that the virus escaped. We know the lab has been notorious for having previous leaks of viruses. So there's no reason to expect that this couldn't be any different. And then secondly, we have yet to find a single animal that carries this virus, Sergio.
An earlier revelation, an investigation, knowledge of this communication. I know that President Trump, he would have pulled all funding, any future funding, grant funding, and America would have had a different perspective on how we taxpayers have funded this research. I'm just afraid more money's is on its way through third parties for this research. Why are we in the business of doing this, and how do we stop this?
I think there's been a mindset that if we befriend China, that they will be our friends. And I think the events of the last 2 years, the Belt and Road Initiative of China to South and Central America and many other countries, where they're really trying to interfere with our relationships, our diplomatic relationships, disclosures of the fact that they have a specific plan to overwhelm our economy within the next 5 years and our military within the next 20 years. We have to, I think there has to be a total shift in mindset that China plans to be our adversary. They are now our adversary. Hopefully they will not be our enemy, but we can't discount the possibility that that's in their plans. They're extending their circumference out well into the Pacific where we are. And also they have designs and have had for many years on Taiwan. So I just think that things that we do supporting their education in the United States, where we find that they transfer intellectual property, which is why they're so advanced now. They steal it from us, and they don't pay us for it, which is against the law. These are all factors that should make us think differently. So why in the world would we be supporting financially biological warfare potentially in their laboratories? It makes no sense at all, Sergio.
Dr. John Fleming, former Congressman of Louisiana. Dr. Fleming was a member of the Trump COVID task force. And I know that up in Washington, they're trying to hurry up and spend money, billions of dollars, to make more computer chips so they can help the supply chain and vehicles and everything else. I do not hear, though, any sense of urgency to repatriate medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, personal protection equipment. What do you hear?
No, I've heard nothing of that. And again, China is utilizing all of its resources to try to befriend countries around us. But what they do through their Belt and Road Initiative is they get these countries dependent on them. The countries can no longer pay them back for what they provide. What they do provide is a shoddy, really shoddy quality, especially when it comes to the PPP, the medical masks, the vaccines, and all of that. And so then these countries become financially dependent on them because they can't pay them back. So China has a grand scheme here, and they're utilizing the COVID pandemic ostensibly for their own benefit.
Always appreciate your insight.
Appreciate it, Sergio.
You take care.
Always good to talk with you.
Yes, Dr. John Fleming. Again, he was right next to Dr. Fauci, part of that COVID task force. And may I remind you, amigo, this is a fact. All these vaccines that we have today that we can count on, to those of y'all who would like to take the vaccine, who've gotten the vaccine, we have a vaccine. We have vaccines because we had a real president, a real leader, who told the doctors and the academics and you guys that are fixated and enslaved by certain processes, you guys need to think outside the box. Get the vaccines, get the manufacturing side up and running. Let's go. You got some good candidates. Go. Let's spend the money, start spinning those, and let's do the studies. At the same time, that's a businessman. That's a successful businessman. That's a man thinking outside the box with a good team of people to make sure that by the end of the election, the end of his presidency, there were vaccines available for those who wanted it. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. We're broadcasting the show this week from her Southern Command in South Texas.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sergio Sanchez, and this is The Dana Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You want to say hi? We're kind of forced to do the whole Twitter thing and Facebook thing because, well, they're the big boys and that's the way it is. And well, someday soon, maybe we'll get some good competition. But anyway, on Twitter, you want to say hi? It's at Sergio Talk. That's on Twitter. And on Facebook, Sergio Sanchez. There's a bunch of them out there, some big famous soccer player up in Europe or somewhere. But, you know, Sergio Sanchez, but in the porthole, that's that little circle, the left-hand margin. I put little banners related to cystic fibrosis, if you want to say hello through there. A couple of closing notes. Interesting stuff caught my eye. One of them, here in Texas, Waymo, you know, the self-driving tech company, they're about to put big rigs in Texas on freeways that are driverless. I don't know if we've actually perfected the driverless technology yet. You might want to ask Elon Musk if they're still working out the kinks on this. Again, Waymo, that's a different company, but I guess they're so confident in it. They're going to try some driverless big rigs, 18-wheelers on Texas highways between Dallas and Houston sometime near future. Not exactly driverless. I mean, there's going to be a warm body, a human being in the cab at the outset. But anyway, that's some of the technology coming to Texas. And Mackenzie Scott, you know who that is? Mackenzie Scott? Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' ex-wife became an instant multi-billionaire after their divorce. Well, she's been doing good. She married a teacher, and she made news for us here in Deep South Texas. She gave some money to our UT RGV school, our university, UT branch, and about 280, 290 different institutions and charities. She was giving away millions and millions and millions of dollars this week. $2.7 billion being donated. Good for her. All right, Steve-O, some of the stupid audio, stupid news of the day. What you got?
All right. CNN contributor Andy McCabe was talking on CNN about the Steve Scalise shooter after the hearings yesterday, and I'll take you.
But he brought the other side of the equation into it by referring to the shooting of the congressional baseball practice. And he did it very carefully by saying a shooting by someone only who committed a shooting only after he confirmed that the players were Republican. So I think that reflects the fact that the FBI still doesn't exactly know.
We don't exactly know. No, because obviously it could never be terrorism by the left. Bernie bro socialist terrorism. Absolutely not. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.